Yet I also know that I walk in the abundant life that I have because I chose to do what God's word says. God has done everything. The way I look at it, once and for all, his son died. Everything that has happened has happened. It's time for us to walk and to take and to claim that ground. Every place that you put the sole of your feet, I will give you. And so as I have been thinking about my messages and as I've been thinking about where God wants to take me at this present stage in regard to the next part of what I preach from the platform, I just know that he wants me to keep on challenging us, you, me, all of us, in regard to enjoying his blessing, in regard to walking in his blessing, in regard to putting on Christ. That's why I like that song. Our God is able. Let's walk in it. So if I think of why people aren't enjoying God's blessing, it could be because of ignorance, could be because of lack of knowledge, or it could be because they've made bad choices. Hence, today we're going to talk on choices. Some of the scriptures that have been really exercising me, challenging me, making me think about my life, making me think about how others are walking, are scriptures like this. Don't become partners with those who reject God. How can you make a partnership out of right and wrong? That's not partnership, that's war. Is light best friends with dark? Does Christ go strolling with the devil? Do trust and mistrust hold hands? Who would think of setting up pagan idols in God's temple? Because that's exactly, the Bible says, what we are. Each of us, a temple in whom God lives. Then it goes on to say, God himself put it this way. I live in them. I move in them. I'll be their God and they'll be my people. So then it says, so leave corruption and compromise. Leave it for good, says God. Don't link up with those who will pollute you. I want you all for myself. I'll be your father to you. You'll be my sons and daughters to me. King James says, come out from among them. King James says, separate yourselves from them. You are a part of the world, but you are not of the world. One of the problems that we face, one of the things that happens in our lives in living the way we do is sometimes we compromise ourselves. Sometimes we shandy ourselves into the world. Sometimes we become Christians and we just add God to what we've already been doing rather than separating ourselves, rather than drawing ourselves out. And I know that that's a hard walk. I know that highway of holiness that Pastor Oxy spoke on many, many years ago is a hard walk. But if God is our temple and we are his temple, then we want him to live in us and we want him to move in us and use us. And by doing that, we're going to see ourselves have abundant life. So part of those passages, part of those challenging scriptures to me is that one. Come out from among them. Don't be a part of the world. Another one is the one that we used when we started off the protective clothing series. One again that Pastor Oxy taught us in Bible college back in 1975 when we were talking about end day things. And by the way, Pastor Oxy in September, two Sundays in September and once in October, will be speaking on end time prophecy. He's got some great charts, he's got some great material, and it'll be very, very, very real. I encourage you to make certain you come to those. They'll be advertised, you'll be able to know which ones they are, but make certain you come. It's going to be a great series. But anyhow, it says, and in that day, that's the day that we live, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we eat our own bread, we provide our own apparel, only let us be called by your name to take away our reproach. But on the opposite side is, in that day, the branch of the Lord, that's the true church, shall be beautiful and glorious. The fruit of the land shall be excellent and lovely to those of Israel who have escaped. Again, another passage, another scripture that is challenging us as to who we're going to serve, what part of the kingdom we're going to be in. And as we talked about with that series, you know, there is a part of Christianity right now who want the name of Christ, who want to be called Christian, but they don't want the word of God. They don't want to live by the word of God, and they certainly don't want to wear his apparel. They don't want to wear the robes of righteousness or the garments of praise or even the armor of God. And they wonder why they're not being blessed, why they're not seeing the outworking of life abundant. Could it be because they're making bad choices. And then, of course, one of my favorite passages, which you hear so often, Jesus told this simple story. I am the gate for the sheep. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for, will freely go in and out and find pasture. A thief is only there to steal, to kill and destroy. But I came so that they can have eternal life and a better life than they ever dreamed of. When we go in through the gate where Jesus sits, where he is the gatekeeper of the sheepfold, we know that we're secure. We know that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. But when we allow the thief to rob and to steal, then he takes away that life and robs us of that abundant life that Christ has won for us. And then the last scripture that challenges me and continues to challenge me. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Now, you can't get anything cleaner than that. You can't get anything more natural than that. If you plant an apple seed in the ground, you will get an apple tree. If you plant pumpkins, you'll get pumpkins. If you plant potatoes, you'll get potatoes. Yet we think it's different in the spiritual. We can plant unrighteousness and we will get back righteousness. We can plant death and we will get back life. And if we don't, we blame God. We get stuck into God. God is not fair. I think he's incredibly fair. He's incredibly just. It comes back to our choice. It doesn't say a man reaps what he says. It says a man reaps what he sows or what he does. This morning, I want to lay down a reality check, a challenge. I want you to take an audit. Maybe do an inventory, a stock take of your life. Just as we're talking, as we're going through this next passage, which you've known so well, I want you to filter through your mind. What am I choosing? Am I choosing that or am I choosing that? The thing I love about reading the Word of God, so often in the same passage of Scripture, we have the right and the left. We have, you know, the good and the bad. I call it the T intersection, and you'll see that in a minute. So this next Scripture, even though it's not new, it's one that we conveniently forget. It's one that we don't want to listen to often. It's often one that we don't want to read. Because it's sandwiched right in a passage of the Bible where it talks a lot about blessings and cursings. And we don't want to hear about blessings. Oh, we do want to hear about blessings. We certainly don't want to hear about cursings. Because that makes us feel miserable. Makes us feel negative. But again, it comes back to a choice. A choice of obedience or disobedience. It's your choice. So the Scripture says this, and if you've got your Bibles, I'd encourage you to open them. Encourage you to underline them. Encourage you to make this a scripture that you will go back to and that you will read. It says this. This command I'm giving you today is not too difficult for you to do or to understand. It is not beyond your reach. It is not kept in heaven so distant that you must ask, who will go up to heaven and bring it down so that we can hear it? Or it's not kept beyond the sea, so far away that you must ask, who will cross the sea to bring it to us so that we can hear and obey it? In short, you don't need a Pastor Graham or a Pastor Allen or a Pastor Dave or a Pastor Hal to come and teach you about it. It's not that hard. It's not that far away. In fact, the Bible goes on and it says, no, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips. And it is in your heart so that you can obey it. Then it goes on to say this. Now listen, today I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and between disaster. I call this scripture or this passage of scripture the T intersection passage. Because it's like coming to an actual T intersection and being able to actually put signposts up on either side that actually talk about these things. We have a roundabout in the middle. Red cars for the men that were having midlife crisis yesterday. How many women read their men's bit of paper when you came home? Yes, sneaky women. I knew you would. In fact, I told the men to take it home. So we have life and we have death. We have prosperity and we have disaster. Now, for me, when I was driving with my children in the car often, i.e. I'd come to the roundabout, let's say, at the top of the church drive-in, in the Performing Arts Centre, looking fantastic. Aunt Alex and the boys doing a great job on that garden. Let's congratulate them. They've been working extremely hard. In fact, the grand opening, Minister of Education for Victoria has just advised us that he will come and open the building for us Wednesday week. So we're going to have a fantastic time. Anyhow, up the top there's a roundabout. And the other day when I had Elijah and Chloe in the car with me and Mia was there, we drove up and I got onto that roundabout, and instead of going out the drive and either turning to the life or to the death, the right or the left, I stayed on the roundabout and I went round and I went round. Now the first time it was funny. The second time it was okay. The third time Chloe was saying, "Pa, go straight." The fourth time Mia was saying, "Pa, go straight." The fifth time the people who were waiting for me every time on the were saying, "What in the heck is he doing?" You see, I was being what the Bible says, a double-minded man. A man of two minds, hesitating, dubious and irresolute, is unstable and unreliable and uncertain about everything he thinks, feels and decides. God does not want us to stay on the roundabout. In fact, the Bible says he'd rather us hot or cold, but not lukewarm, because he would spew us out of his mouth. We've got to make a decision. You can't stay on the roundabout of life, just going around and around and around in circles. In fact, I've watched people go round and around and around in circles, but I think God gets to the point of being another Mia. Pa, you can't do that. Make up your mind. What are you going to do? And I think God squeezes people to the point that they have to make a choice. A choice between life, a choice between death, a choice between prosperity, or a choice between disaster. Now, when you see it on the slide and you look at it like that, I don't think that's that hard. You know, what are you going to do? Are you going to take life or are you going to take death? If you came up to a T intersection right now and it had a signpost up there, rather than Sydney or Melbourne, it had life or death, you'd have to be an idiot to take death. Nobody wants to go down that road. If you had one that says prosperity or disaster, who would take disaster? Yet unfortunately, this is what too many do, because it's too hard. But then the Bible says it's not too hard. It's in our heart, it's in our mouth, so we can do it. Not maybe do it, not possibly do it, but we can do it. Now, I can preach like this because I'm one that made a choice. I could have taken disaster, but I chose prosperity. I could have taken death, but I chose life. Has it been easy? No. Is it a hard road? Yes. But the Bible tells us it is. But man, the outworking, the abundant life, the peace, the joy, the being able to sleep at night, the being able to say, "Hey God, you're in control." Do I want Dave and Anders to leave? No. That means that now I've got to find another person or people, that we've got now to start doing the hard yards again. But God, you're in control. Rest. It's easy when you take life. It's easy when you do God's stuff. Then it goes on to say this: "For I command you this day to love the Lord your God, to keep his commands, decrees and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, then you will live and multiply and the Lord will bless you and the land you're about to enter and occupy." So let's go back to our little drawing again. So all we've got to do if we choose life is to love God, to the best of our ability, keep his word, walk in his ways. Now God knows that we're going to fall short of his glory. That's why he's given us what I call the escape clauses. If you sin, come and confess your sin and I'll forgive you. In fact, I'm going to talk about a U-turn later. Just walk in his ways. Follow him to the best of your ability. Live, or you will live and you will multiply. And then finally, that God will bless us in the land that we're going to live. So that's a pretty easy thing. Okay, if you're going to choose life, if you're going to choose prosperity, then all I want you to do is love me. That's his commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. To the best of your ability, keep his word. Now, that's pretty simple, really, because you think about it. With children, we don't expect them to know everything from the start. But as they learn, we expect them to obey and to do and to keep on doing. So, to the best of your ability, as it's revealed to you and as God enables you to walk the walk of an overcomer, walk the walk of an overcomer. And then, by doing that, you will live and you will multiply prosperity. And I'll bless you. I like that bit. I think that's great. We could stop right there. But unfortunately, if we go back to that scripture about come out from among them, so many want the blessing and the prosperity, but they enjoy the pleasures of the world and living in the world and doing the worldly things. God puts it this way. He says, but if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, if you're drawn away to serve and worship other gods, then I warn you now that you will be destroyed, that you will not live a long, good life in the land you're crossing the Jordan to occupy. Now, I don't know how we can get upset at God for that. He makes it so clear. He gives us the signposts. We're on the roundabout. We've got the time to choose. Life or death, prosperity or disaster. If you don't want to walk in his ways, if you don't want to keep his word, if you don't want to love him, then let your heart turn away. Don't listen to the word of God. Don't listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit leading and guiding you. Yeah, go and worship other gods. Now, that might not be bowing down to some idol in a temple. It might be the god of money. It might be the god of lust. The god of whatever you want. What it is anything that takes prime place where God should be. If you do those things, then I'm sorry to tell you, you choose to be destroyed. And you choose to have a short life. Verse 19 says this, today, and this is for all of you, every one of you have heard this scripture now, so this is for you. Today, I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessing and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice that you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. Oh, that you would choose life. You know, when you think of blessings and you think of curses, it's a very interesting subject and an incredible one that would be worth an in-depth study at some stage, maybe a Bible school. Unfortunately, our natural minds tend to think on the curses, tend to think on the things that go wrong, tend to focus on those and tend to have that sense of poor me. But you know, the Bible mentions blessings 410 times, yet it only mentions curses 230 times. God wants us to be blessed. He wants us to have abundant life. He wants us to live a long life. In fact, he sent his son and allowed him to die on the cross that we might have that life. God wants to pour out his blessing, but the issue is that we're in charge as to whether we get that or not. We're in charge by choice, by the choices we make. In Deuteronomy 28, we see the fruit of either. In Deuteronomy 28, 3 to 6, there's four specific blessings, and I know it's a little bit small up there, but you should be able to read them. And really, the blessings are packaged into four very, very, very simple things. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. In short, a blessing that suggests that God's children will be blessed everywhere. God wants to do that. We can have that if we choose obedience. Then the second blessing that is unpacked in Deuteronomy 28 is, blessed shall you be in the fruit of your womb, the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your livestock, both the increase of your cattle and the issue of your flock. And I package that up into just a blessing of prosperity. Whatever we put our hand to, God wants to bless us. God wants to outwork himself in there. And then the third one is, blessed shall you be in your basket and your kneading bowl. And the way I see that is a blessing in our material needs. My God is my provider. I never lack. He provides all I need and has provided all I need. It's an amazing thing. As I look at what God has given and what God has done, we still carry a mortgage on our house. That's okay because my kids will inherit that. But we have done amazing things and we have had such incredible richness in what we've done. It's got nothing to do with how much money that comes in. I'll guarantee you that. It's how much God pours out his Spirit and multiplies what we have. He's an amazing God. Then the fourth one is, blessed shall you be when you come out, when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. And I see that is a temporal blessing. That's a blessing that has universal coverage over anything and everything that has to do with my life. God just wants to pour out his blessing. But then in Deuteronomy 28, in fact, 14 verses of blessing and the remainder on the cursing side. And again, it's very interesting as you unpackage those curses. There's the, what I would call the overview, the summary, and then there's the detail. And God really goes into detail to open it up and explain because he wants his people to know. Look, you can't say that you didn't know. Look, here's the blessings. They just cover this. But if you're going to disobey, then you better reckon, you better know, you better read what it is that you're opening yourself up for. Because I don't want you to come back crying to me that you didn't know. Even though I've told you, even though I've explained it all to you, you better read what they are. Because this is what you're choosing if you wish to go down that way. And they can be broken up into seven things. Seven things that outwork into so many different areas. And we see this fruit. You know, the Bible says, by thy fruit you shall know them. Derek Prince, if you haven't read it, you can download it. Fantastic series on blessings and curses. Fantastic series on how to break a curse in your life. And he would use these fruit to say, if you go through those and you can see those highlighted in your life in more than majority than just the unnatural. In the unnatural, you know, there's a lot of these things happening in your family pool, then possibly there is a curse upon you that has come down through the generations and the gene pool. So if in your family tree, in the gene pool of your life, you can see an unnatural amount of mental or emotional breakdown, that could indicate a curse. If there's that repeated chronic sickness, if you see that, you know, someone's always not well, then that could mean a curse. Barrenness, a tendency to miscarry or conceive. And again, I remember Frank DiMaggio talking on the spirit of barrenness, not only in people but in the church and over people's lives. Breakdown of family and marriage, through the gene pools again. Financial lack when there's enough money coming in. Accident prone, suicide, unnatural and untimely deaths. These would indicate or could indicate a curse. In fact, as I'm preaching this right now, I know that I'm opening it up, that I need to follow it up with another message on actually dealing with curses. I will do that the next time I preach. What I want to do right now and what I have done is I wanted to show you the difference. I wanted to give you, again, the T-intersection look at what is there. Quite a contrast, I reckon. It's our choice. It's up to us what we're going to do. God has given us every opportunity. He wants us to walk in life. He wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to have blessing and prosperity. The answer and the key now is not in God's hands, it's in our hands. God's done his bit. He's given us the key, his son. Our choice, our key is obedience or disobedience. For me, when I look at this, when I do this, this becomes very sobering. This makes driving out onto Old Melbourne Road very real again. Life, death, blessing, curses, prosperity, disaster. It makes every T-intersection that we come up to very, very important. Rather than just following the others or doing what we want to do, we should be filtering everything through, God, what is it that you want me to do? And if you don't know what God wants you to do, if it doesn't bring forth life, it's not from God. Simple. There is, I think, one more sobering aspect to this passage that, again, we need to reflect on because it impacts the generations to come. It says that you and your children may live. Today, I've given you a choice between life and death, between blessing and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live. The sobering aspect is that not only do we impact ourselves, but we have the opportunity of impacting our children, our grandchildren, and because the Bible says to the third and the fourth generation, even our great-grandchildren. I want to know that the seed that we've been a part of goes on and goes on and goes on. Now, I can't help them with their choices, but I can certainly help them with the choices I make. The choices of life, not death. The choices of loving God, walking in his ways, keeping his commandments to the best of my ability. I'm wondering if we could have those that are waiting on the communion table to come and to hand out the elements, please. And just stay focused while they're doing that, if you wouldn't mind. Because there is a good part to this. I think it's all good, by the way. I love it when God gives us clear definitions and clear boundaries that we can do. I also know that there are times when we make wrong turns. We do it in the natural, and we certainly do it in the spiritual. And for me, I call that a U-turn. God calls it repentance. God poured out his blessing. God poured out his life in the way of his son, that we might have life. Because his son has paid the penalty, because his son has taken upon himself the death, the punishment of the cross, because his son carried his own blood into his father's throne room, symbolically paying the penalty for you and me, we today can actually do a U-turn in doing our stock take, in doing our inventory of our lives, in maybe acknowledging that we have been muddying ourselves with the world a little bit, Maybe there are things that we know that haven't brought forth life. Maybe there's things that you can see that actually might outwork in the way of a curse. Today, you can come to God and you can do a U-turn. You can, holding in your hands the symbolic remembrance of Christ's death, symbolic remembrance of his shed blood. Thank you very much. You can ask God to forgive you. You can actually turn around from the death side and you can start walking to the life again. God, help me to walk your ways. God, I really do love you. I want to love you more. I love that scripture where it says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Because that shows me that there are times when we really do want to do something, but we just can't. Through Jesus, we can. His enabling, his power. But it comes back to the start, I think, in regard to the word choice. What are you going to choose? You're going to choose to, first of all, determine today to love the Lord your God with all your heart. To take that T intersection of life rather than death. To walk in his ways to the best of your ability. With all those things that he will give us. But they shouldn't be the draw card. The draw card should be, I love you, God. But I want life. And I want it to the full as well. Why don't you stand with me today? I'm going to read 11 to 14 today. This command I'm giving you today is not too difficult for you to understand. It is not beyond your reach. It's not kept in heaven so distant that you must ask, who will go up to heaven and bring it down so that we can hear it and obey it. It's not kept beyond the sea so far away that you may ask, who will cross the sea to bring it to us so that we can hear it and obey it. No, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips. It's in your heart so that you can obey it. Now, just as much as I would have no doubt there's people with sore backs and headaches, I have no doubt there's people today in this room who have chosen the wrong direction. And not even by mistake, by choice. Today, in front of your face, is this. Do you want life or do you want death? Do you want blessing or do you want disaster? I would encourage you to do a U-turn today. To ask God to forgive you. Turn around and to the best of your ability, start walking towards him. And I guarantee you, that those things that have been holding you down will fall away. And that you will start to experience life. And as you walk in it, then God will enable you and strengthen you more to walk in it. And the scripture in Joshua says, every place that you put the sole of your feet, I'll give you, will be yours. I guarantee that. God's word never fails. So why don't you just judge yourself, examine yourself. And if you know you've been sinning, if you know that you've been living a life that has not been honoring to God, if you have been muddying your life in the world, as it were, then I'd encourage you to come out, separate, place yourself as a vessel for God to use, and let's start to enjoy the incredible blessing and richness of life abundant, both here and in the future, in eternal life with God. Just judge yourself and then I'll pray. If you recognize that you have sin in your life or things in your life, then can I encourage you to, in your minds, confess them to God now? Something like this. God, thank you for bringing to my attention those things that I've done or am doing than in honor of you. I'm sorry for them. I ask your forgiveness now. And I thank you that through your blood I have cleansing. That's 1 John 1:9. And then Psalm 103 verse 12 says that our sins are as far as the east is to the west in God's sight when he forgives us. He remembers them no more. You've got a brand new start. Everything and anything that's been hanging on drops away. Father, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your love. I thank you for just the incredible clarity of how you make things in your word easy to understand, easy to walk in. Lord God, I pray that the choices that have been placed before us this day, Lord God, would be clean, clear, and that we would obey. Father, for me personally, I pray that you would pour out your blessing upon your children. Lord, I want to see your children, this church, the people of this church, walking in prosperity. For Lord, I know that your word says that if we do this, then people will look at us and they will like what they see and you will add to your church. So have your way today, we pray. Let's partake. Let's together just give thanks for God's incredible love. Oh, we love you, Lord God. We magnify your name this day, Lord God. We praise you, we worship you, acknowledge you, Lord God. Andy, can we close with that song, please? As Andy and the musicians are coming up, if you'd pass your glasses to the end of the row. And I'm going to pray for Pastor Oxy and Sister Jill and Neil and Marie Murray. Pastor Oxy and Jill are going up to minister in Toowoomba for, I think, 10 days, and then they're going to have a holiday on the Gold Coast. Let's pray for them. And Neil and Marie are going over to minister in America for 3 months, and I'd like to pray for them as well. Father, we just thank you for just the blessing of ministry that you brought into this place, and we think of Pastor Oxy and Jill particularly. We just pray that you would overshadow them this day. And Lord, as they travel tomorrow, give them traveling mercies as Pastor Oxy ministers and Jill ministers over the next 7 to 10 days in Toowoomba, that Lord God, that you will sustain them, and that particularly for Pastor Oxy, that Lord, you'd bring back to his memory those things that he's been studying and preparing for. And that Lord, that there would be just a great freedom and a great anointing upon the words that he speaks. Lord, for their holiday time, I pray that you would just honor and bless them and enrich them, refresh them. Father, for Neil and Marie, as they travel to America and as you've opened this door of ministry for 3 months, I just thank you again for the richness of your word that's in them. And again, I pray that you would use them mightily to impact those that you put in front of their paths. Father, for those that we continue to pray for as sick, we just pray that there would be that confession in our lips that you are able, Lord God, and that you will move by your power. Father, we just give you thanks in Jesus' lovely name. Amen.